This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this morning. Hour three rolling along. We're going to get to the Detroit Lions today, a team we missed in our season previews. And again, for good reason, because they were practicing. Jennifer Hammond is going to join us. WJBX-TV, Fox 2. We'll talk about the Lions. One of the questions I do have for her, I did not see the final episode of Hard Knocks, but it's a question I do ask a lot when we do these previews, is how much did Hard Knocks affect the players at training camp? Were they cognizant of the cameras around them? Did they comment about the cameras being around them? You know, we always get a, you know, reality show is so weird because they talk about it being reality, but in the end, it's not necessarily scripted, but I think people act differently when the cameras are on them. And Hard Knocks has been around a long time. And in fact, if you're a young player that's on the Lions, and most of them are, you've probably spent your whole life knowing that Hard Knocks comes to a training camp and probably have seen it. Maybe you watched it. Maybe you sort of knew how it played out. And I think if you are cognizant of your image, I think you want to utilize that as best you possibly can. You can probably work a little harder so the cameras catch you working a little harder, showing up at camp a little earlier, or whatever it may be, so that you're, you know, there's a positive image about you on the television show. But the Lions, I will say, I watched every episode up until this last one, and I'm actually going to watch it later this week. It's the cut one, which is, you know, always interesting, but nevertheless, it's always the same formula. But you can't help but when something is packaged like the way Hard Knocks packages a team, like, I felt genuinely excited about where the Lions are going in 2022. But then I realized the only reason I did was because I got their perspective entirely, that if they had gone anywhere else, I probably would have felt the same way. Now, I don't watch Hard Knocks every year. This year was a little intriguing because I like Dan Campbell and I think the Lions have an interesting story. A lot of storylines, the Rams, for example, I wasn't all that interested in, and a couple of others I didn't watch. I don't think I really watched the Falcons one, for example. But I wasn't interested in this one. So I'm curious, because this is a 3-13-1 team that I should be looking at going, yeah, wake me up when you do something. But there's something about that organization that has made me go, well, I don't know if they're going to do anything, but I like where they're headed. So we'll talk about them later. But coming up next, is everyone going a little too crazy about what's going on in Tom Brady's life? We'll discuss that next, because the season is starting this weekend and people are wondering if after 22 seasons going into 23, if he'll be ready.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, or Facebook. Robert, there's a Robert on Twitter, and there's a Robert on Facebook. I just want to make that clear. We have two Roberts that chime in occasionally. Robert on Twitter should be excited because we're doing the Lions today. He's in Michigan. Robert on Facebook is in Korea, and I don't even know what favorite team he has. So if you want to let me know, you certainly can. All right, again. So, Tom Brady. All right, I want to get to this. I am not a TMZ guy. I don't dabble in that kind of stuff. It's unfortunate that in this business, sometimes you have to. It's just the way it is, right? Sometimes you have to dabble in tabloid journalism a little bit because it may affect what you actually are interested in, and that's the sports of what that particular person does. I can remember the Tiger Woods situation. It's always made me kind of feel creepy that we were diving into him and Tiger's and Elon's marriage and the infidelity and discussing it. We were trying to get how it would impact his career and how it would impact his legacy and will he play in the Masters and all of that other stuff. But you can't get to point A without sometimes swimming in this pond. And it feels like the sports media is swimming in that pond when it comes to Tom Brady. So, as you know, Brady's took 11 days off, and there was a lot of speculation as to why. Masked singer, needed time away, dealing with business, didn't like training camp, didn't want to play anymore. Everyone had their thoughts. Everybody was trying to figure out, all right, why would you just leave training camp and disappear for 11 days? Well, Page Six in the New York Post started digging, and that's what they do. Celebrity gossip, it's one of their most profitable parts of their newspaper. People just tend to like that stuff. And they dug into it and found out that him and Giselle are having marital problems. And she's off to Costa Rica and taking the kids to a water park. And he's back at training camp with his team. So in order to get to what people want to discuss in sports, in the sports media, which is how well is Brady going to do in his 23rd season in the league at 45 years old, coming off a season in which he led the league in passing and touchdowns, leading the Buccaneers to 13 victories and just four losses. How will Brady play in 2022? And you can't have that conversation, unfortunately, without throwing this out there. If this is true, because family life matters a lot, right? Your marriage and your kids and how you spend time with your kids and whatever matters a lot. Back to Tiger real quick. It's one of the reasons advice he got from his father was to not get married and not have children if you're pursuing this greatness, because family, marriage, family, kids has a tendency to derail you a little bit. Now, in Brady's case, we've never seen that become a factor, ever. He's had kids for a long time. He has a 15-year-old son. He has a 14-year-old son. He has a 12-year-old daughter, I think. So he's had children for a lot of his career. But it's never once derailed him from excellence on the football field. But when you lose a little bit of that support, right, when there's something going on in your life, then if that's indeed true, it can put a wrench in how you view going to your job, right? It does affect people. It affects everybody in every walk of life. Now, some people get lost in their job so that they don't have to deal with, their family life at home and what's going on at home. But others can't stop thinking about it. What's happening? How do I reconcile this? Are we okay? All of that. And that's the kind of unfortunate part of this. Because to me, Tom Brady should be a really interesting 2022 story without the family drama. We are talking about a 45-year-old playing quarterback, and Brady has made it so that age is not even discussed. We have almost been forcefully separated from the idea that somehow Father Time wins in the end, except with this guy. But we know that's not true. We know it can drop off exponentially. He can go from leading the league in passing yards and touchdowns to having injuries that don't quite heal right and him never being the same again. Now, that's the more interesting thing for me, right, is I'm not waiting with anticipated breath that the end of Brady's career, but I'm smart enough to know it's coming at some point. But I don't know how it's going to look. And to be honest with you, I am very fascinated on how it's going to look. We just talked about Serena Williams leaving the grand stage. And we've seen this with athletes who are just grabbing a little bit. And Brady at 45 isn't grasping at a championship. He could easily win the championship. Now, he's got some obstacles on his team that they've got to overcome. His offensive line has been decimated a little bit with some injuries, including Ryan Jensen on that O-line. He doesn't have a security blanket like Rob Gronkowski, although I don't know if I should dive into this, Ron, or not, but Pat Donovan, our good friend at WDAE, one of the guys at WDAE, also pointing it out that there's rumors that Gronk is maybe coming back and they're manipulating somebody's salary to help out in that cause. Little rumors. You'd get that this time of year. But he doesn't have him. And there are going to be people watching this play out to see if his heart is really in it. Now, the one thing about Brady is we have to give him the characteristic that he has shown us the whole time, right? Which is this. When Tom Brady's on the football field, the only thing that matters is football. He has never once, at least to my recollection, ever appeared disinterested in playing a football game. He has never appeared to go through the motions of a football game. Now, being on a winning team like the New England Patriots constantly allows you to sort of have that luxury of playing regular season games that have tremendous value in terms of your playoff seeding or just continuing excellence or whatever it may be. But we've never seen Brady we've seen him play poorly. Don't get me wrong. We've seen him play, play poorly. The last throw he threw in a Patriots uniform was a pick six. but we haven't seen him play where he's been disinterested, where it feels like he's just getting a check and he's hanging on and everybody kind of wishes he was done. That's the worst position an athlete can be in, especially a megastar athlete. That feeling that fans have when they go, yeah, I wish he was kind of retired. Even though that athlete has given you tremendous amount of their effort and championships. Because in the end, it's hard to see an athlete decline. But Brady hasn't shown one ounce of this. And I think that's one of the reasons why the media is fascinated with what's going on in the TMZ world of Tom Brady and Giselle. Because if there's going to be something this season where the throws aren't as crisp, where the offense is kind of stalling out, and the wins may not be piling up, there's something else other than, well, this is what happens when you get to be 45, no matter how many vitamins, pills, and a vegan diet you go by. And I think in the end, that's why people are a little gravitated to this story. I think there's a lot of people in sports media who are like me. It's just part of the deal sometimes, and it's a part of the deal we don't really like. And I've always said, like doing this for a living, I've had to almost like learn medicine. I've had to learn law without a law degree or a medical license. I've had to learn injuries and how they recover from injuries and what kind of injuries are worse than others. And, you know, knee injuries take many shapes and forms. And this procedure is 2 to 4 weeks. And this procedure is a whole year. And torn ACLs, even torn ACLs have some level of degree and whatnot. There's all sorts of things you sort of learn covering, especially the NFL. And law, because contracts and what athletes do outside the law and all of those things, it almost has to come with the territory. But part of what comes with this territory sometimes is tabloid gossip, because some of it's real. And when it is real, you have to throw it into the equation of how you want to talk about a particular player. I am interested in Brady's 2022 season because he has had the craziest offseason of his career. Even the move from the Patriots to the Buccaneers was smoother than what he went through this offseason and what he's gone through from the moment he announced his retirement until what opening day will be on Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys. I mean, there's a whole list of things that have happened in the last 7 months of retiring, unretiring, the scandal with the Dolphins broke, right? Then there was this, coming back and then being away from the team for 11 days. And again, this tabloid stuff hitting him. And then what is he doing here? And is he interested in coming back? And all of those things. And Rob Gronkowski retiring. And then Bruce Arians, was there friction? Was there no friction? How did he get along with Bruce Arians? Because now Bruce Arians is gone and here's Todd Bowles. And so many things have happened around the Brady universe. Some of it is valuable in terms of evaluating what the season will be because Todd Bowles is now the new head coach. That's valuable. Some of it isn't. I have zero idea if 11 days off is going to affect his play. I doubt it. So there's a lot to navigate. Always remember, when people say, right, well, we know this, when Tom Brady straps on that helmet, it'll all be about football. True. But always remember this. You don't know how you'll react to something and how you'll feel about something until you are put into the furnace. And Tom Brady's marriage, by all accounts, has been great. And now we're hearing rumors that she's left. And until you're actually in that, you don't know how you'll react. Maybe that's the most important thing in his life, and football is an afterthought. It's easy to go down the road of he's a gamer. But until you know exactly what marital strife and concerns about your family are, you don't know. Not everybody can strap on a helmet and throw 4 touchdowns after, you know, less than what, 2 days after 3 days or that day that his father passed away like Brett Favre did. Some players have to leave for a while because everyone's circumstance is different. But it's still in the world of tabloid journalism. And as we evaluate this season, I really wonder how much of that is going to be ramped up if he plays bad against the Cowboys. Right now, it's easy for me, Ron, everybody else, ESPN, Fox, whatever, to sort of go, that TMZ world, yikes, ouch, put a arm's distance away. Like Tiger Woods. Because I remember a lot of sports media people saying, it's none of my business. But then when it was, is he going to play in the Masters again? And look at the way he's being treated by all of these different sponsors are dropping him. The Masters is lambasting him. Other golfers are commenting on him. Then it became part of the sports world. I wonder how much of this thing we're kind of like, yuck, about is going to come back if the Buccaneers struggle with him under center. Because there's a lot of reasons he may struggle this year that have nothing to do with that. His offensive line is got some work to do, trust me. They've got some work to do. But we'll see. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue. Don't forget the Lions coming up at 40 past the hour, and we will talk about them and get a preview in for a team that went 3-13-1, but my God, found them fascinating. That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
I just got reprimanded by my wife. She said, do I have, because off the air I asked Ron if people who hold their nose and try to pop their pressure in their ears was, I always felt like I was doing something wrong, like I was damaging my ears, you know? And so she said, no, you should do that. And then I asked you off the air if you could do, if I should do that. You said, yeah, that's what pilots doing. All right. So I tried it because the pressure in my ears drive me crazy. My wife just got on to me. She said, why do you have to ask Ron for? I told you to do it. I was just getting a second opinion.
Well, I mean, that's what you do, right?
That's right.
Go to a doctor and get a second opinion.
That's right.
And well, I have male anatomy, so, you know, it's different.
I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be offended. Get a second opinion. No, there's nothing wrong with that. So, oh, goodness.
Yeah, now you're in trouble.
I am so excited for tomorrow night's game. I know it's football and we should all be excited anyway, but what a good matchup to open up the season. The Bills and the Rams to open up the season. This is great. Talk about, I don't know, like, we talked about this earlier with pressure, teams with pressure. And I still think, like, the Bills are just under tremendous pressure, almost crazy pressure in a year where the AFC is so loaded. They're the ones that are like, yeah, you better win the Super Bowl. It's like, I should have pressure to win a Super Bowl, of course, because we're an elite team. But have you seen the landmines that are coming through? But I mean, the Rams, what a story. I mean, just to win it last year when they needed to win it, or all hell was going to break loose with everything that they were putting together. And then you got the Bills who came up short, because they couldn't stop the Chiefs with 13 seconds remaining. Yeah, so that's be good tomorrow night. Good way to start the season.
Is it a Super Bowl preview?
See, that's a thing, right? How many times are you going to see that tomorrow?
Not probably too many.
Right? Way too many. There'll be, you know, so many people.
Now, this game's not on Amazon, right? They're waiting.
No.
They're waiting a week, I thought.
You know what? You just reminded me. I have to start putting that together, right? I have to start figuring out all my streaming options for what games are on what.
No.
So who's doing Sunday Night Football now on NBC? Al Michaels still? Or did they give that to somebody else? Is Mike Tirico doing that?
No, it's Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth.
Okay, so Mike Tirico is doing that. And Al Michaels has gone to Amazon.
Al Michaels is done. He's just collecting
a check.
He's
done right now until Amazon calls him? He's not doing the Amazon thing yet?
No, he's doing Amazon.
Yeah, right. Until they.
He's just collecting him a check. Right? Because I don't think he's going to be 100% in it.
Yeah.
But I think it's Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, right?
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I kept hearing. I didn't know if that was official or not or whatnot.
I think that's the thing.
By the way, I saw Troy Aikman complaining on a video about how he went to ESPN because the communication with Fox was broken and all of that. Listen, I'm in this business. Let me tell you something. It drives me crazy when broadcasters act like they don't move for money. Like, it's a gift practically to make $30-something million being an analyst from the NFL when you could be replaced tomorrow by another analyst and no one would miss a beat? I mean, give me a break. Like, yeah, you go where the money, who's ever paying you the most, right? You, if somebody, if ESPN wants to pay you and Joe Buck a fortune to be Monday Night Football, you go there. Don't worry about crying because somebody didn't offer you the right amount of money. Like, he got an offer from ESPN. He was mad that Fox didn't match it or something. Like, why would they match it?
Because you know what it is? It's that athlete mentality.
I mean, it is.
He played for the Cowboys, and that was it.
And
the Cowboys gave him everything because he's like, you know, he's a dedicated person. He wanted to play for them. It's like, nah.
This is the first time in their lives they've been told they're replaceable. And yet they get money as if they're not replaceable. Right? Like, Tom Brady was going to go, what, $10 million, $300 million for 10 years for Fox to be an analyst?
Yeah.
Like, have you just outside of John Madden, name me one analyst you've ever went, can't wait to hear what he's going to say about this game.
Like, what are you talking? I've collected analysts, football analyst cards for years, Tony.
And I'm not,
for
listen,
decades
I'm,
now.
I'm not knocking anybody in this business. You make as much money as you can. I'm not saying that, but like, no one watches for the broadcast team. It's that's not a sellable thing when it comes to giving you a crappy game. Like, how many crappy games do we get on Monday Night Football where we go, oh, they thought this was going to be different at the beginning of the season, right? But have you ever gone, well, I'm so glad so-and-so and so-and-so is on the call.
Well, no, don't you remember? We were complaining about Thursday Night Football. Like, what's the point? And then they started giving us really good Thursday night matchups, you know, really tasty ones.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's great. But Monday night is terrible now.
Right.
And then now we're getting a little mixture of both. Like, we're getting decent Thursday, decent Monday. You know, maybe some of the terrible ones are Sunday afternoon where we're like,
they try their best, but, you know, sometimes the matchups don't work out. Like, by the time you get to week 11, it's like, oh, we thought this would be good. And they lost their quarterback, and now they're mediocre, and this team is not as good as we thought, but we thought this would be a good game.
All I can tell you is this, is that the next two Thursday games are incredible. So I looked it up. NBC has Bills-Rams this Thursday, tomorrow night.
Yeah, and then NBC is going to have the Dallas-Tampa Bay game Sunday night.
But Amazon Prime Video is kicking their Thursday night feature because, you know, they have it for the rest of the season with Chiefs-Chargers.
Oh, when is that? Week two?
Yeah, week two.
Week two. My gosh. I gotta keep track of all this stuff. I'm like, I'm now losing. Yeah.
But the one thing that is amazing about this week is the amount of reunion stories.
Oh, yeah.
This coming this week. It's bizarre. Is that even a word? Is that the word you use for it?
Yeah, there's a couple of angles on these games that are pretty interesting. Oh, by the way, the New England Patriots are in Miami right now.
Yeah.
Getting acclimated to the horrible summer Florida weather.
You know, but that's smart, though. I mean, when I first saw it, I'm like, okay, is there a big storm coming into New England I didn't hear about? Or, you know, is that one hurricane that's way off the coast? Is it supposed to make a dramatic left and they're just trying to get ahead of it? And then it just turns out like, no, they just want to get used to the mugginess, humidity.
And by the way, it doesn't matter when they go to Miami, they lose in Miami. They lost under Brady in Miami. They're 2-7 in their last 9 games down in Miami. Like, didn't matter who they were playing.
Belichick must have been watching Utah, Florida.
Under center, yeah. And he's like, we're going down there now. You know, listen, I haven't looked it up, but to me, just what's in my brain has always been Patriots get Miami in Foxborough sometime early, and then they go to Miami late in the season and lose that game. Like, I don't know how much that's happened, but it feels like that happens all the time. So this time they got to go to Miami, and again, it's brutal down there. This time of year, he's getting acclimated to the weather. So good for the Patriots, but they got to try to turn a trend around against the Dolphins. But you're right. If Joe Flacco starts for the Jets, he's going up against Baltimore. What other ones? Baker Mayfield going up against Cleveland.
I saw that I didn't even realize, but, Mahomes.
Oh.
Going up against Kingsbury.
Yeah, Mahomes against Kingsbury.
His former coach.
I didn't even think about that. That's good. And then, of course, Russell Wilson going back to Seattle Monday night. You're right.
That's
going to
be a fun game.
That's going to be great. That's going to be interesting to see, and especially the new-look Broncos offense. We'll talk Lions next.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we told you guys, when we had the chance to do the Lions, it happened to land on the start of training camp, so we couldn't get anybody for our preview in the week that we were doing the NFC North. But we made a promise to some of you because some of you said, where's the Lions? We will get the Lions. Jennifer Hammond joins us on a progressive guest line to help us preview this team. Featuring on Hard Knocks this year, 3-13-1, second year under Dan Campbell, who we like on this show. And she joins us from Fox 2 in Detroit to talk about this team, which is really fascinating because I think Hard Knocks adds an element to it. But I'm interested in where the Lions are going this year. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing well, Tony, and thanks for having me. And I'm just going to stop you on one thing. You like Dan Campbell? I feel like you should love him.
I love Dan Campbell.
That guy.
I love Dan Campbell. He's
and
amazing.
He didn't even... Did you watch? You watched last night, right?
I did not. I've been watching all year. I couldn't get to last night, so I've got that on my DVR.
You're going to have to call me back and let me know. Last night was pretty good. You see a lot of the guy's heart and soul, and not that he doesn't bear that every single day, but I think the greatest thing about that, just speaking on Dan Campbell, is that he's the real deal. I mean, he is authentic. He and Brad Holmes are really shaping a culture here. I was at an event yesterday in the community that Jason Kabinda was kind of rounding up some players to give out books to kids at a school in Detroit, and probably about 14 guys showed up on their day off, and they haven't even played a game yet. And they were all there on their day off. I mean, it was a really cool feeling. And the energy surrounding this team, just the buy-in, which I think is huge, because for a group of guys that went, as you said, 3-13-1 last season, there has to be a shift in mentality. And it's real and it's tangible. I've covered this team for, I think this is my 29th training camp. And this is something I haven't seen in a long, long time. This kind of optimism and this kind of belief that there is truly a shift that goes beyond just a new coach and a new regime, because we've seen so many of them.
Well, let's talk about the last part of that season. How much of that enthusiasm is those three wins came in the final 6 weeks of the season. So how much of it is what I just saw is what I like.
So here's what's the interesting part of that is that, really, they point to, and Campbell told us this on Monday, as they get ready to open against the Philadelphia Eagles, that the big shift in the season came after their loss to Philly in Week 8. They just got slammed 44-6. I mean, both offense and defensive lines of the Eagles just manhandled Detroit. And so really there was a shift, and that was at the point where they started using Amon-Ra St. Brown more. They realized that something needed to change. They started to build this momentum on offense, where they were doing more to make sure that Jared Goff was comfortable and giving him the options he wanted and giving him a voice. And they really just kind of turned things around, and it's not great. I mean, three wins in your last seven games isn't a great showing, but what it did show is that they were resilient. They kept playing for Campbell. And at the same time, they had six games that they lost by one score. So they were close. And I think what the mentality has been, and really the emphasis this whole camp, is to finish, to not quit. And when it gets hard, to go harder. And I do think that will be something, if they can salvage those close games that they lost last year, that they could go easily from a 3-win team to, say, an eight-win team.
I want to talk about Jared Goff and ask you about how he has grown into this role at being the Lions quarterback, because we always talk about these guys as, well, when they, you know, when push comes to shove, they're professional. But I can't imagine being a young guy getting drafted by a team, putting them in a Super Bowl, and then being told, you're out, you're traded to this team that doesn't win, we're going to go with somebody else, and oh, by the way, your job might not even be around, they might draft somebody else to take it. And he goes into that environment. Today, what is Jared Goff like, and what was it like when he first got there?
You know, it's really an incredible story if you think about any single person was put in that same type of job recipe, it would be a recipe for failure.
Sure.
And I think people, you know, in and you know this as well as anybody, the starting quarterback in the NFL is a really thankless job if you're a guy who's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. You know, there's a handful of them that just live without any kind of issue and complaint. And then everybody else, you know, you're just a game away from being, you know, out. And I think the interesting thing about Jared Goff is that he just puts his head down, goes to work. He still seems a little guarded with the media, but who could blame the guy?
Sure.
But he has had arguably the best camp. You know, I have only seen him in two camps, but the coaching staff is raving about him. His confidence now, he finally has some weapons. I'm going to tell you, he has connected. They went out and they got DJ Chark for him, and they've got Josh Reynolds back, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, this kid, if you saw him on Hard Knocks, he is poised to show the league that he is elite. And he's maybe dropped two balls all of camp, which is pretty incredible. And I think that finally now Jared has some weapons. His offensive line, as I knock on wood, they just lost Hal Vitae, the right guard. That was announced on Monday. But his offensive line is healthy this year. Last year they had, you know, two Pro Bowlers out before, you know, week six. So it'll be a very interesting thing. Goff is the kind of guy, like I said, puts his head down, goes to work. He's been very methodical in the way he works. And now that he has some weapons, he's looking good. He loves Ben Johnson. He loves Mark Brunell, and he loves Campbell, you know, so he's surrounded with the types of guys that will help him succeed and are now his number one cheerleaders. There's not even conversation about is Jared Goff. Well, there is. I shouldn't say that. There's always going to be the conversation, is Jared Goff the guy? And he has to show us this week. It starts week one against the Eagles, which is a really good defense. But I think Jared Goff is really in a good position here in Detroit to go forward confidence-wise and also with what he's got on the field around him on that offense.
That was the one thing about Hard Knocks that really exposed something to me, you know, not covering the Lions on a regular basis, was how many of the assistant coaches I went, oh, I know him, I know him, I know him, I saw him, I watched him play, I know him from college. And
isn't
look, I'm not,
it awesome?
It was create a roster of coaches that are familiar to most of us who have watched this league for years.
Yeah, and I know Dan Campbell's whole intent was to go out and get guys that have been there, done that, guys that have won, guys that have played, guys that have worked, guys that have grit, and guys that have a voice and give them that voice. Dan Campbell is one of the few coaches that I've covered in, you know, all these years, that he, on a weekly basis, will bring an assistant into the podium. When Matt Patricia was here, we were lucky if we ever got to see or speak to the O coordinator or the defensive coordinator. And Dan Campbell lets his guys come in all the time and talk. He gives them so much voice. And as you saw in Hard Knocks, there's a lot of confidence and there's a lot of teamwork involved with that coaching staff. And the players love these guys because, like you said, you know that they've played, they've been there, they've been in the trenches, they've been to war, they've done all the hard work of the NFL training camp, and they get it. So it's really it's a great recipe for success if they start winning consistently. A lot of personalities in that room.
Oh, without a doubt. That's what I think. That was the most impressive thing, was just watching them interact with each other and knowing there was like a code of how they would do it no explanation was needed. They could talk to each other in such a way that you didn't even have to, like, you'd be astonished if you walked in, but you knew deep down there was a real fundamental trust between everybody in that room. I found it fascinating, but that does lead me to my next question. And I think Hard Knocks has been around so long, but how much did the Lions see this in their lives? How much were they affected by it? There's cameras, there's image. Some players have said in the past, I didn't come off as well as I should have. Was there a concern about this when you're trying to get everybody together and you're trying to get everybody on the same page? Here's a show that will find individuals and make them stars, even if they don't need to be stars.
Yeah, I will say that I don't feel like we got enough of all different players and guys fighting for roster spots. And we didn't even see some of the stars of the team. We didn't see a lot of Hawkinson. We didn't see a lot of Decker. We didn't see Aleem McNeil, who's a second-year D-tackle, who's a stud, who they're raving about. So we saw a lot of the rookies, and last night's episode really shed a little more light on guys who were fighting for the team, some who made it, some who did not. So I feel like we got a little more of that last night. But by all accounts, and Shannon Furman, I actually interviewed her. She was the producer and director on site here in Detroit with her crew for Hard Knocks. I interviewed her early in the process, and they did such a good job. I felt when Hard Knocks came in that it could be a disruption or a distraction.
Yeah, sure.
And it wasn't. It wasn't at all. You know, they were everywhere, but suddenly they just blend in. And even yesterday, or on Monday rather, when I was at Campbell's press conference, my coworker said to me, he goes, look, they're gone. And I said, who's gone? And he said, Hard Knocks. And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice. So, I mean, it's that kind of seamless work that they do, kind of just blending in, even though there's, you know, dozens of them all over the field and in every press conference. But I don't think that it changed the Lions at all. If anything, to your point, I do think it gave them more fans nationwide. People could get a little look behind the curtain and see that, you know, they're not these lovable losers. It's not this mentality, you know, and Dan Campbell's not just the big blustery bite your kneecap off guy. That this guy has a whole lot of heart, and he's purposeful. And when he talks about grit and he talks about loving his players, it's not just, you know, he's not just paying lip service to those things. He's a really authentic guy who cares about his players. And when you watch him sit down with Brad Holmes to cut guys last night, every guy had a smile on their face and said, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And in any other episode of Hard Knocks I've seen, that's not the norm.
Yeah, a lot
that's
of upset
the exception.
People, right?
Yeah, so I think they came off really well. I think it was great for the city. It was great for the team. And like I said, if it's just they've got to turn some of these close losses into wins to really change people's minds.
I will ask you this about the defense. I would have drafted Aiden Hutchinson even if I had an amazing defense. I would have just added him to an amazing defense. But that being said, what was the Lions' defense, and especially under Matt Patricia before Dan Campbell? What was it last year, and how much is he needed on this defense?
He is needed desperately. Any kind of pass rusher is needed desperately. They have really failed in that area. And it's interesting since, you know, obviously, the defense is still the question mark and the weakness, but also as well, it starts on the back end. They were so decimated with injuries in the secondary last year. They had guys, you know, that were off the street, picked up on Monday, playing in a game on Sunday, and they've been very injured up front on the D-line as well. They're still missing some of the guys that they were really hoping to count on them, that they could count on, rather, with the Aquara brothers. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a difference maker in this league, and he makes Charles Harris on the other side of him that much better. This kid is great. They've really got, if they can work in tandem, stay healthy, and if the back end holds up and the front end gets to the quarterback, you know how that changes life for everybody on
sure
that
does.
Squad.
Yep.
And that's really the hope, is that, you know, even if it's just 1 second shorter that the DBs have to, you know, shadow their receiver, that they're going to be able to make more plays. And we'll see. You know, they've tweaked Aaron Glenn's system just a little bit more attacking. But that's really the big question mark, I would say, with this team going in is the defense and how they're going to play and perform against a mobile quarterback like Jalen Hurts, because in the Falcons game, they got eaten up. And last year when they played against Philly, I think they were outrushed something like 256 to 57. Mm. So they've got to just stay sound on their assignments. They've got to be able to stop a mobile quarterback. They've got to be able to commit to stopping the run and stay healthy. I can't say stay healthy enough about this team, because they just went through it last year.
Jennifer, great stuff. Hope we get you on again. That was really, really fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime this season you want me, you give me a call. And like I said, I it'll be a good test against the Eagles, and they're motivated. They won't forget. They don't forget last year, 44-6. Will they win? I don't think so this Sunday, but I think they'll definitely keep it close.
Appreciate
it. So be competitive.
Jennifer, great, great stuff. Jennifer Hammond, Fox 2 in Detroit. Again, an interesting team at 13-3-1 last year, but again, a lot of eyes on them this season. Absolutely. Jennifer Hammond, again, thanks for joining us on Fox. We'll come back and we'll wrap up and give final thoughts on that one little thing about the Lions that I wanted to get to when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Robert on Twitter. Nice to hear the Lions feature. 6-7 wins this year seems doable. It's a big rebuild, which is a lot of positive momentum. And that's why I asked her the question about Jared Goff. She made a point. You know, he gets his head down, goes to work. And that's the way you would have to do it if you were in his situation. I think it is extremely difficult to be in that position because you get drafted by a team. You do what you're supposed to do. You may not do it the way that people may have thought you were supposed to do it, but in the end, they got to Super Bowl 53, right? And they got to the Super Bowl. And that was a defensive battle, and they couldn't break the Patriots' defense, and that was a winnable game that they didn't win. But here he is a few years later being told we're shipping you to the Lions for their quarterback. And by the way, you might not even be theirs down the road. But you can rebuild in this woe is me, we're rebuilding, we're going to be awful mentality. I've seen teams do it. Or you can do it the way the Lions have done it, which is we're going to play the cards that have been handed to us, the players that are on this roster. We're going to try to play hard. We're going to figure this out down the road. And we're going to try to do some good things and do it in a way that's likable. The Lions are likable. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sportsman Radio.